Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. And I'm broadcasting live from our nation's capital, from Washington, D.C., more specifically Georgetown, a beautiful, beautiful part of our nation's capital, one of my favorite places to be on the planet. I love coming here whenever I get a chance. Somebody who I think agrees with me is our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. William Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, professor of economics at Temple University, and also the founder of a bank, an independent community bank. And so we're going to get him to, and one of the world's most highly regarded economists, especially with regard to how the economy works for small business. He's our good friend Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
We're doing great. Bill, nobody in the world appreciates and values and reveres the work that you do and the survey that you report to us every month. Folks, Bill has been polling small business owners for over three decades now and compiling a report, a monthly report, and publishing and distributing that report for a long time, many, many years, almost 10 years, Bill's been bringing us that. So, Bill, nobody reveres, and you know this. You know how much I value the work that you do. But is
you're sitting
in light,
me up here. I knew the
button. I am sitting you up. There's a butt coming. Exactly. But in light of what's happened in the last few days, Does what your report show today still have merit? Is it? I mean, even though we can talk about what small business owners told you about last month and what they think about the future, hasn't the paradigm shifted a little bit to some degree in the last week or so?
Nah, I mean, okay. What's going on is worrying you. One of the things we forget in this whole deal is that for every loser, there's a winner. Somebody sold the asset at a high price, and somebody ended up with it at a low price. Well, these people are, you know, these big banks. Like the headline yesterday in the Wall Street Journal said, the big banks won't lend to each other now. We're seized up again. Well, wait, why are they lending to each other in the first place? They're supposed to be lending to small businesses and helping America grow.
This is, I agree.
They're playing with these imaginary assets. They've created silly assets. And whereas in our little bank, you know, we have leverage of, you know, 10 to 1. They're at 40 to 1. I mean, when you buy a house, you put 20% down. That's 5 to 1 leverage. They're buying houses, putting a dollar down, borrowing 99. And, of course, when any little wobble happens, you know, then they have liquidity problems. And that's what's been going on here. And, you know, they should
be doing better. And, Bill, I agree with you, and I completely agree with you. They knew better. They shouldn't have done it. This was a case. This is a pure case. If there ever was a more dramatic case of greed, in my lifetime, I don't remember what it would have been on a virtual global scale. Would you disagree with that?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Now, but what I'm trying to point out is collectively, for the whole economy, there's no such thing as a capital gain or a capital loss because somebody had the asset at a high price and sold somebody at a low price. All those people that built houses, got paid to build them, the builders, they have all the money.
Yep.
Now the banks are stuck with them and they can't sell them at the same price. So we just move money around. There's winners and losers. But, you know, it's like back in 1987. The stock market fell 20% a day.
Yep.
And
yep.
We looked at our NFIB data and said, hey, nothing's going to happen to the real economy. And sure enough, it didn't.
Here's where today's different from 87, because I remember that very well myself. Where it seems to me that this is different, after 87, we didn't lose Merrill. Merrill got absorbed. We didn't lose, almost lose, or would have lost AIG if the government hadn't bailed them out. We didn't lose Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We didn't lose Lehman. We didn't lose Bear Stearns. We didn't lose what else? We lost some stuff. There were quite a few SNLs went out of business, and of course, as a result
exactly.
of other things.
And relative to the economy, it's much the same thing. And remember, we didn't lose the assets. Lehman's building is still there. The people are still there. All we did was reprice the asset and sell it to somebody else, and they'll start another experiment. When small businesses go under, which we do from time to time, we don't. The society doesn't lose the asset. We still have the building. We have the people. We reprice the assets, and we start another experiment. Somebody won and somebody lost. We're focused on the losers right now, but somebody, got those assets at a high price and sold them before they crashed.
But one thing that's happened that you're going to have to admit when we come back, there's one scenario that's different. I'm going to talk about that and get Bill's thoughts on it. It's a big one too, folks. Stay with me.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. William Dunkelberg. And my websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out, use them to your advantage. We built them for you, and we're making them available to you without charge or without barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Bill Dunkelberg and I were just talking about, asking him about, how bad things are. And he's pretty much pretty positive, pretty optimistic. I'm glad to hear that. But, Bill, there is one thing that I think is quite a bit different today than say, 87 or other times in my memory. Yes, we've had bank failures, and yes, we've had, financial institutions to go out of business, et cetera, et cetera. But the role of government in picking and choosing and getting involved and now bailing out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, making that implied guarantee now be actually explicit, and to choose AIG and let Lehman go under, that kind of involvement is unprecedented, is it not?
Well, it is unprecedented, and I'll give you an analogy. Katrina is the first hurricane that the government took the lead on fixing it up. Before that, all our hurricanes in Galveston and all those other places, they were all those crises were taken care of by the private sector, and they got it done. So I would say the thing to worry about is the government's busy trying to ease the pain now.
I agree.
Deferring, pain into the future, because we are setting precedents that really increase the moral hazard. That is, people really will not worry so much about it. They won't look hard at buying Lehman stock. They'll say, we'll be okay and we'll get bailed out or whatever. And that's not a good thing.
Well, I agree, and that's one of the things that concerns me because Bill, if you take this, if you follow this thread a little bit down the road a little bit, what you find is if the government is now in control or has the ability, as the rabbis used to say, the ability to bind and loose, that's an old Pharisee term. They have the power to bind and loose. If the government has that ability, then that means regulations will follow, and regulations are not good for small business banking. Increased regulations, more scrutiny, and tighter restrictions on the availability of credit and all that rolls downhill to small
and
business.
And resources that I have to devote to, complying with SOX and all that nonsense. Yeah, no, I agree with that. And if Obama wins the election, you're going to get a lot of, you're going to feel the government's hand on your back right away.
Yeah. Well, okay, so now that you've kind of talked me off the ledge, down off the ledge a little bit, Bill, thank you for that.
Don't jump, Jim.
No, I'm actually, I gave a speech yesterday, and I told my audience that, me, Bill, there's nobody believes in the economy, especially Main Street economy where small business owners live. Nobody believes in that more than I do. And I told my audience yesterday, I said, I said, I think, then when they asked me, you know, what do you think about the economy? I said, I think our economy, at least our, let me back up. I said, our financial sector is not well right now. It's sick. And I said, I think about it, but I think overall, if you take all of it into consideration, I think overall that we're sort of like a 285-pound nose tackle, professional football nose tackle, who's big and strong and bad, but it has a lot of potential, but it's kind of got the flu, got the sniffles today, not really hitting on all cylinders. What do you think about that, Bill? What do you think about that?
I think that that's true for Wall Street. And again, I'll go back to the headline. You know, it says these 10 big banks won't lend each other, and of course they're diminishing in number, which is fine. But, you know, I'm not worried about that. Let them do this with all their imaginary assets. You know, what would worry me is if you told me that a perfectly good company like Nissan couldn't get a loan because, you know, then I worry if they're, you know, but all, I saw there's 7,000 commercial banks are out there doing lending. We don't play that. We don't play that game. We don't have that leverage. We don't do all those silly things. So, you know, they're flailing around out there, and we're all getting worried about it. But, you know, it's not going to have the impact on the real economy out there on Main Street. That the headlines would portend, you know. But we do get scared, and we'll pull back, and we all watch this stuff. And you know,
I mean, there are people out there who are extrapolating from this that their deposits in their bank might not be safe. There actually are people.
Exactly. There are some things that, you know, people are misinformed out there about what the Fed is doing in terms of printing money. Well, they're not really printing money, and what the Fed is. The Fed is doing the job it's supposed to do, which is in a crisis provide liquidity, and it's been doing that, and that's fine. You know, it's now they're doing like they did with Chrysler. Whether that's the right thing to do, you know, we'll have to find out. Time will tell us whether that was good. But the Fed's providing liquidity to keep the system rolling, and you know, this is a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth in New York City, and it's not, you know, going to heavily spill out in the rest of the economy.
What do you think? Give us a summary of what your small business owners told you this time.
Well, the small business, the optimism index went up. That was good. Hiring plans went up. Again, only 2% said that they were having any problems getting the loans or financing that they need. That was a top problem for them, which is, you know, where it's been for the past 15 years since Greenspan and Volcker kind of straightened out things. So it's not an issue. They're still not running on all 8 cylinders, or maybe that's not good today. You should only have 6 cylinders and be a little more green. But
yeah,
anyway,
that's right.
You know, but things were headed in the right direction. Consumer sentiment's been rising. We finally figured out that even though people have been telling us we're in a recession for a year, it doesn't appear
right.
We are. And so we'll just keep moving ahead.
Technically, we're not. We're going to be right back, folks, after these messages. I took a little poll yesterday in my audience I spoke to. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what those small business owners said over in Hampton Roads, Virginia. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief of Or on my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Bill, tell us how we can find you in other places, please.
Oh, sure, nfib.com. You can /research. You can see our stuff there. And every month, I post as soon as we release it, a draft of my report on smallbiz.org. That's smallbus.org.
Right. Check that out. Of course, again, it's on my own website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can find Bill's report every month. Hey, Bill, when I gave a speech yesterday in Hampton Roads, Virginia, about 250 people there, and when I asked the small business, how many of your businesses are off right now? And then some raised their hand. Then I asked this question, how many of your businesses are doing pretty well right now? And of the people who raised their hand, only about 10% had their business was off.
Yeah, well, I think that's more what's out there on Main Street and what we see happening. I mean, things are not exciting, but, you know, we've had positive growth again this year. And there are some who prognosticate that in the second half where, you know, the recession starts. But again, that's what they said a year ago, September.
Right.
They said we're going to fall into a recession. And, you know, well, we did have a slow fourth quarter. It finally turned out to be a negative number, a little teeny negative number. But, the economy's growing.
Do you think, well, that because of part of the effects of what's happening right now with the challenges and the government intervention and all that, who knows what the regulations are going to be? Do you think now, instead of 2009 being a year where we start a new recovery and maybe a new expansion, that maybe 2009 is another year where we kind of, you know, we're still toughing it out, trying to get out of this? What do you think?
Well, I think we could get a slow start in 2009, and the simple reason really is the kind of the thing that's at the core of a lot of this trouble, and that is, you know, we build a million houses that there's nobody to live in. We're trying to get rid of them. These are important assets. They're still depreciating in price, although things are starting to settle out. And, maybe early in 2009. I mean, we still have almost 900,000 housing starts at an annual rate now, but that's down from 2 million at the beginning of 2007, which artificially stimulated the economy. We all thought it was really great, and it really wasn't. We were really doing some stupid things, and so that could lag over into 2009 a little bit. But then once housing's back, hey, this economy's moving.
Bill, one of the things that we've always been able to say, regardless of everything else that's happened over the last 20 years, was the U.S. financial markets were the most well-developed, the most robust, the most sophisticated markets and the strongest markets in the world. In 6 months, will we still be able to say that?
Sure. I don't see why not. I mean, when you say strongest and well developed, I don't know what, you know, what's going on now is that, you know, things are getting sorted out here and mistakes that are being corrected. It's painful correction, but again, you know, it's not the people who are going. Think about this. You know, Great Britain or Canada, they have one big bank. They don't have all these banks.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the problem if we were to put all of those big banks together and have just one big bank with a million branches? What does it mean Bank A won't lend to Bank B? All these things that are making people go down wouldn't exist. They'd have some bad mortgages at this big mega bank, but you know, we've got this kind of silliness that we've created here, and the silliest are going to go under. So we lose Lehman and we lose Bear Stearns, who were leveraging beyond belief and creating assets that were so complicated.
Even the creators didn't understand them. They deserved
to
fail.
And they
deserved
to
fail.
Fees. Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that.
Okay.
I don't care what happens to these companies. I'm not their advocate. What I care about is to the degree that their behavior hurts my heroes and your heroes, small business owners.
Exactly, you know, and I think that, you know, people probably are overstating that. We'll see. I divided this month's survey on Monday, so we'll get all of the respondents before Monday and all the respondents after, and we'll see, how it really affected the plans for ABC. Grocery store to hire or not hire and so on. And so my guess is same as 1987, really not much happening out there on Main Street in response to the nonsense that's going on in Wall Street.
I'm anxious to see your next report. And
me too.
Wait. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be with you.
That website again, please.
Oh, smallbiz.org, smallbus.org. NFIB.com/research.
There you go. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here again. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live. I got another hour to go after this one. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.